This is a life-changing message by the Reverend Sam Crunchy Ankara.
Second Kings chapter number 6, verse number 15. 2 Kings chapter number 6, verse number 15. Read with a loud voice. Ready, go. And when the servant of the man of God arose early and went out, there was an army surrounding the city with horses and chariots. And his servant said to him, "Alas, my master, what shall we do?" Verse number 16, with a loud voice. Ready, go. So, do not fear, for those who are with us, if some people are against you, I want you to leave here knowing that those on your side are more than those against you. Am I prophesying to somebody? So he answered, "Do not fear, for those who are with us are more than those who are with them." Verse number 17. With a loud voice, ready, go. And Elisha prayed and said, "Lord, I pray, open that he may." Now that portion is so important, it's very key. Open his eyes so that he may see. Then the Lord opened the eyes of the young man, and he saw. And behold, the mountain was full of horses and chariots of fire all around Elisha. Oh my God, Lord, open somebody's eyes. Verse number 18. So when the Syrians came down to him, Elisha prayed to the Lord and said, "Strike these people, I pray, with blindness." And he struck them with blindness according to the word of Elisha. Now, it was a period when the Assyrians were a threat constantly to the Israelites during the time of Elisha the prophet. Oh, Jesus. The Syrians subdued the Israelites, intimidated them, controlled them, stole from them. And around this time, Israel was fed up and they wanted to put up some resistance. And the king of Syria got angry and said, "Well, what do these people mean? We are going to attack them and we are going to deal with them heavy." Then anytime the king met his generals and they took their strategy and their plan, then Elisha will pick it in the spirit. And then Elisha will advise the king of Samaria, the king of Israel, "Tomorrow, the Assyrians will be attacking us from the north gate. So let us avoid the north gate and let us go to the south gate so that when they come, we shall attack them from behind." And it will be so. Number two, the Assyrians met again, planned a strategy. Elisha picked it in the spirit, advised the king of Samaria for the third time. Then at the next meeting, the king of Syria said, "There is a spy here. There is an agent here who has been telling the king of Israel the things that we plan." They said, "No, master. There is a prophet there who can hear and can pick things up in the spirit. There's a prophet." They said, "Huh?" Then he said, "Go and arrest that prophet." So the Assyrians then surrounded Israel. Then this servant of Elisha called a young man. He didn't know what was happening. It was early in the morning. He was going to buy cocoa. So as he got to the gate, he saw the Assyrian army. So ran back to Elisha and said, "Master, we are surrounded. What shall we do?" Then Elisha said, "You have seen surrounding, but you haven't seen the protection. Father, open his eyes so that he will see that what is for us is greater than what is against us." Oh my God, something is about to happen here. And when the Lord opened the eyes of the young man, indeed, he saw horses and chariots protecting Elisha. He said, "Hey!" Sometimes when you cannot see what others see, you can be a fool. Oh. You can make mistakes when you don't see what others see. And then at the same time, when you begin to see like everybody else, you become normal. Today, I am bringing you out of the realms of normality. So whilst the young man was seeing chariots of the enemies, Elisha was seeing chariots of protection. What do you see? How do you see? Do you see what everyone else sees? I change my language. What you see informs you on the inside of your mind the way you view life. The way you see life informs your approach towards life. And what you normally see influences what you talk and the language you speak. So when God wanted to do business with Jeremiah, he came to him in chapter number 1 and verse number 12 and said, Jeremiah, what do you see? And when he opened his mouth, he said, I saw an almond tree. And God said, well enough you have seen. For upon this there shall be a performance. What you see directs the performance. And when James the apostle picks up this subject in chapter 1 and verse number 5 of the book of James, he says, so is the tongue. Have you seen the tongue? It's a small part of the human body, but King James says it can speak boastful things. Other versions say it speaks a lot of predictions, though very small. The tongue. And when I took my time to study, the man called Elisha, who inherited the anointing from Elijah, I began to see from chapter number 2, chapter number 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, that the man's life was consistent with living a life which was not defined as normal. Every time Elisha saw differently. In chapter 7, when people saw hunger and deprivation, Elisha opens his mouth and says, I don't see hunger. For tomorrow about this time, I see provision that the Lord will visit this city. To the extent that the young man who was parading as the chief administrator said, no, stop this nonsense. Can't you see everybody dying? Can't you see hunger in the land? Because your life is hanging on the next 1 hour. Today, I will pour my spirit upon you and I will pour myself upon you. This altar will speak. Can you clap your hands and say, Lord, speak for me? Oh, you are doing very well. Say it, Lord, speak for me. Can you add a jumping and shout and say, I reserve it?
I reserve it.
Can you jump again and say, I reserve it?
I reserve it.
May you catch up with those who have gone ahead of you. Say amen. Clap your hands and say, Lord, open my eyes. Elisha said, Lord, open his eyes. You are living here. You will see differently from everyone else. Let people see bad economy. Let them see a poor country. Let them see impossibilities. As for you, may you see what others don't see. Can you clap your hands and shout, I receive it. Let the devil hear you again and shout again and say, I receive it. Everybody saw hunger. Elisha saw provision. Tomorrow about this time, in chapter 3, I look at Elisha. Oh, I said, Lord, when I was studying the Bible, I said, Lord, make me a unique person. Different from everybody else. Because that's what makes you great. If you are doing everything everybody does, tell me, where lies your greatness? Chapter 3, 3 kings had come to Elisha. And he said, Elisha, we are failing this war because our horses don't have water. Our soldiers are dry. we will perish in this war. Elisha said, tomorrow when you go to the war, you will not see the clouds gather, but the valley shall be filled with water. They saw dryness. Elisha saw water in the valley. And truly, by the time they got there, there was water. What do you see? And what is it that influences your language? In chapter 6, I was looking at Elisha. Some people were building. And as they were cutting the log, their water fell into the well of water. And then the axe sank. And then when the people were crying, oh, it's borrowed. It's not for us. Elisha comes and says, where did it fall? Show me where it fell. Elisha cut a tree, drop it into the water, and the tree went and pulled the axe. And the axe came floating on top of the water. Elisha said, pick it. So when they were crying that the axe has sunk, Elisha saw a floating axe on the water. What do you see? And what influences your language? Clap your hands and angrily shout, from today I change my language. Let me speak some languages which are very common to us. And clap your hands angrily and say, I change this nonsense. I hear poverty, poverty all around me, but I hear people saying, when you don't come from a good home, you can't go to the best schools. They said, I can't go to Achimota. You can't go to Infantsipim. Our children cannot go to Addis Adel. Our children cannot go to Wesley Girl. Clap your hands and say, I changed my language. Tell somebody, you are saying, when I say Jinchako, say, you are saying, Jinchako, I say, Jinchako, tell somebody, there is a shifting in the atmosphere in your favor. Clap your hands and say, Father, in the name of Jesus. Say, in the name of Jesus. I refuse to see negatives. I refuse to confess negative. From today, I prophesy. I will see what God sees. And I will speak the language of Jehovah. Because in my tongue lies the power. Clap your hands and shout, I change my language. Shout, yes. Change my language. Change my language. In chapter 4, a poor woman comes to Elisha crying, sir, my creditors are coming after me. They want to sell my tools now. Elisha said, what do you have in the house? Master, I have one bottle of oil, like the size of the royal house type anointing oil. Very small. Elisha said, go to the baller. Go to the refuse. Go to your neighbors. Go and gather empty bottles. Empty bottles. And so as she went, collecting the empty bottles, people asked her, what are you doing, woman? She says, I am collecting empty bottles. That's the way they saw it. But Elisha was seeing bottles that are filled with oil. What do you see? And how does it influence your language? Collect those empty bottles. Put them in the room. Lock up yourself. Pour the oil that you have into the empty vessels. As she poured, the Lord began to multiply. The Lord began to supply. The Lord began to supply until all the bottles were filled. They saw empty bottles. Elisha saw bottles filled. Your difference comes out when you don't have the eyes of normal people. Elisha said, Lord, open his eyes and let this man change his language. Anyone who believes in my prophecy and you believe that one day you hold political office in this country, one area that you must love to Google and read is when you go to Google, just Google presidents of America. I beg you. And read everything you know about every American president from George Washington, their founding father, to Obama. Number one. You can't just become a president of that country. Because that country is sophisticated. Their electoral system is complex. For you to win primaries, to stand election, you should have taught 52 states of America. Just to become the president of the number one free world and the wealthiest country in the world. A And those presidents have motivated me a lot. And in studying about their backgrounds, I was shocked about the background of Donald Reagan. I was shocked about the background of Abraham Lincoln. I was shocked about the background of Jefferson. I was shocked about the background of all those guys. They were commoners who saw different things and spoke different languages. And they became what they became. Let me tell you about the one you know, Ronald Reagan. Ronald Reagan's father was alcoholic. Yeah. Some strong alcoholic who was not bringing money home. So it was the mother who was working very hard to sustain them. How he struggled to go to school. He became the most powerful and the most successful president of the 21st century. He broke the communist world down. Ronald Reagan. I was watching a documentary on Muhammad Ali, Cassius Clay, the most famous, the most powerful, and the most influential boxer in our generation. Cassius Clay, Muhammad Ali, fly like a butterfly, sting like a bee. And I was amazed. I was just watching. By the age of 18, he was the Olympic gold champion in heavyweight boxing. When he came back to America, nobody celebrated him. He went the following year, he won the gold again. My son, still he was not noticed. Around this time, he was 20 years. Then he said, even though people say I'm too young to turn a professional boxer, I will still do it anyway. Because 2 years, I've won Olympic gold and nobody recognizes me. So if it will take professional championship to be recognized, then I will be a professional champion. He saw some people and the people registered them. Said, okay, don't give up. But they told him, you will not become a world champion until about 6-7 years. Why? Because the champion at that time is called Almighty Sonny Liston. Sonny Liston was 32 years old, number one. Number two, he had fought 35 bouts and won 34 by knockout. Hey. Sonny Liston had knocked his opponent 34 times from 35 bouts, and the other one went the full 15 rounds in those days. He was 32 years. Then, around this time, Muhammad Ali, Cassius Clay, was 22 years. They had told him to wait for 7 years. Then he told his promoters, he said he wanted to fight Sonny Liston. They said, huh? Don't go and die, you are too young. And if you know Muhammad Ali, he's a handsome man, young man, very handsome. They said, we want you to live long. We want you to live long. Please, we beg. Sonny Liston, don't go that way. Wait till Sonny Liston has retired. The man will not keep quiet. The man will not change his language. Here was his language. I'll be the champion of the youngest champion of the world. I'll be the youngest champion. And I will beat Sonny Liston and there'll be no mark on my face. I'll still be handsome and I'll still be sharp. I'll fly like a butterfly and sting like a sting. I'll be the youngest champion in the world. I'll be the youngest champion. I'll be the youngest champion. He was saying it. He said it. He said it. His language. Your tongue. You've spoken so many negative things about yourself. Clap your hands and say, this nonsense is over. Say it again and say, I changed my language. All I can do, my son, is to prophesy over you. After that, you should go and rehearse. Finally, the promoter said, let's give him the chance. But all of them went to prayer and fasting. And then on the day of the fight, they brought a coffin. Oh, you can't fight, Sonny Liston. Round one. Muhammad Ali danced around the guy. The guy couldn't punch. Round two, he danced around him, he couldn't punch. Round three, Muhammad Ali gave him pam, pam, pam. Everybody said, huh? The guy, the thing he said will come to pass. Oh. Somebody said, I will be the first millionaire in my family. Round four, five, six. By round four, there was a cut on Sonny Liston's head. Then the doctors went and treated it. They said, Charlie, the guy's prophecy is coming to pass. He says you'll be the youngest champion of the world. The thing is coming to pass. When round seven was over, When the bell rang for round 8, Son Lisin said he was tired. He had had enough punishment. He will not fight again. That was how Muhammad Ali became the world champion for the first time at age 22, according to his language. In a sermon that I preached recently, here is what I said. When you see problems, these are the things you are seeing. Get those series of tapes entitled Glory in Suffering. One of my best, which was delivered about 4 years ago in series over here. I said that anytime you see problems, you see P and R and O and B and L and E and M and S. So when you see problems, you see P. Now every problem carries a prediction into your future. Every problem carries a prediction into your future. So rather than being fretful and afraid, anytime you are faced with a challenge like the one that came over you when you lost your daughter, you begin to see that something great is about to happen. Problems are a prediction that something is about to happen. Number two, when you see an R, you see a reminder that God is with you. So when you see the P, a prediction out of your problems, the R reminds you, a reminder that God is with you, God will not forsake you. Then when you see a problem, you see an O, you see opportunities that make you creative because of your problems. Opportunities that give you the chance to be creative. Creativity. How can I come out of this problem? How can I solve this problem? Remember my statement. I said, when you see, like every normal person, you become a normal person. Lord, open his eyes. So you see differently. When you see problems, then you see a B. There are blessings that come through problems. Believe me, blessings. Not every problem is a curse. Some problems are blessings in disguise. Make up your mind and start watching out for blessings when you encounter challenges. Then you see an L. God is telling you there are some lessons to be learned from every problem you face. There are some lessons to be learned. What lesson did you learn from the last abortion? What lessons did you learn from the boy who told you he will marry you and went to bed with you and dumped you? Have you not learned some lessons? There are lessons to be learned in every challenge, in every situation. Then you see an E. The E tells you, don't run away from any problem because everywhere there are problems. Everywhere. Don't leave Royal House Chapel because any church you go, there are still human beings over there. Don't leave the choir to join the ushers group. Because the ushers group also, there will be discipline there. Everywhere there are problems. Then you see an M. The M simply tells you every problem comes with a message to guide you in your future dealings with God. Every problem brings you a message of hope, a message of transformation. The S over there, problems. The S there simply tells you from today, anytime you have a problem, know that that problem is solvable. The problem is solvable. The problem is solvable. Every problem has its solution. Every problem has its solution. Every problem with solutions. There is no problem you cannot solve. So therefore, in conclusion, every winner has the winner's language. Every winner. Winners speak certain languages. I have identified a few of them to share with you. Number one, every winner speaks the language of covenant. Every winner that you know speaks the language of a covenant. Number two, winners speak the language of success. Winners speak the language of success. You will never hear winners speaking failure. If you are in the habit, my message for you in 2017, Shakers and Movers, I change my language. Number three, winners speak the language of pride. Oh, you heard me. I said pride. You only know of that other side of pride, where pride means arrogance and you show disrespect to everybody. But there is another side of pride which is positive. And check successful people. They speak the language of pride. Number four. Winners speak the language of confidence. Confidence. Number five. Winners speak the language of past references. Past references. Winners speak the language of past references. They always have a reference point. Number six. Winners speak the language of faith. Speak the language of faith. My test case is 1 Samuel chapter number 17. My test case is 1 Samuel chapter number 17. I was amazed to find revelations. A small boy, a young man called David, had been sent to go and supply bread to his brothers who were at the war front when Israel was fighting the Philistine. And for 40 days, the Israelites were supposed to produce a champion to meet the champion of the Philistines, Goliath, so that the outcome of the battle would determine the overall winners of the war. And Israel, for 40 days, they could not produce a champion. And Goliath kept threatening them and shouting and screaming at them. And then David arrives on the scene. And then when he heard the threatenings of Goliath, Bible says, everybody began to run for cover. But David began to speak a language. His first language is, so what shall be done to the man who defeats this man? Language of success. Successful people have a different language. What shall be done to the man? And he said, who will kill this uncircumcised Philistine? Language of covenant. Language of covenant. And then he says, who will take away the reproach from Israel? Language of pride. Do you know that you are a covenant child? Do you know the meaning of covenant? Covenant simply means that the one who has entered into the covenant with you, it is his responsibility to ensure that the covenant comes to pass. All you need to do is to align yourself and do the part that you are supposed to do. Be faithful, worship him, pay your tithes, be prayerful, walk in holiness, walk in righteousness, be faithful to your wife, honor your wife, honor your husband and your child, and you're on your way. That's all that I did. That's all that I did. There was somebody who had covenanted with me. All I did was to just play my role, to honor my wife and honor my children, and be faithful to the calling that God has called me, and God ensured the covenant speaking for me. Does this guy who is shouting there know that he's a Philistine? He has no covenant with God. King Saul and Israel, why are you running away? Where is your covenant? It's amazing When people go to interviews and go to places, and then they just go and mention, I am a member of Royal House Chapel. And the people will say, we were traveling with some people, and their passports were not ready. And we were supposed to present their passports to the Home Office for their visas to be granted. And then when we took their passport, they had the old one. And so they said the old one would not be entertained because there's no biometric information on that one. Ladies and gentlemen. And so this girl had 24 hours within which she must produce a passport so that we could go take the visa for her. Man of God. Went to the place, and the person who do the biometrics and so on for her is a member of Royal House Chapel. And then asked the girl, what branch do you go? He says, I go to the headquarters. He said, bring me your documents. In less than 24 hours, Covenant has spoken for this girl. Here another one.
One of our members went for interview at the UK embassy. And he said when he went, the one to interview him just saw the band on his wrist and asked him, are you a member of Royal House Chapel? He said yes. And then that was the end of the interview. He gave him 2 weeks to come back for his visa. Another person went for interview just recently, and he has had his job. Around the time they did the test, he had the band on his wrist. And he met another royal there who was on the panel. So after the test, he went to greet him and he said, he's a royal. He said, are you sure? What shows you are royal? And then he showed his band. And then that was it. I was at Mr. Price one time to change my shoes I went to buy. We didn't fit. I lost my receipt, but I said I wanted to change the pair of shoes. At the desk, I was speaking to the lady. She didn't want to accept. And then she asked whether I'm a Royal House member. I said, yes. I said, how do you know? She said she's also a royal. She also showed her wristband to me, and that was it.
Your name is Jehovah. Your name is Elohim. Can you shout on top of your voice? Louder, louder, louder.
Have a mention of your name.
Louder, louder, louder.
Every tongue must confess.
Can you add clap offering to it?
That you are the covenant keeping God.
Can you shout it?
There is no one like you.
Your name is Jehovah.
Your name is Elohim.
Can I have the sons and daughters of Royal House?
Have a mention of your name.
Can I have some crunchy youngest daughters and sons?
I'm a mention of your name.
You are a covenant child. You have relationship with the kingdom. You are a son of God. You are a child of the altar.
No one like you.
Covenant.
Covenant giving God.
Clap your hands and shout it.
There is no one like you.
Alpha and Omega.
Alpha and Omega.
Hey.
There is no one like you.
Yes, my son.
I went for an interview at Ghana Great Company Limited.
Ghana Great Company Limited.
Yeah, and they asked me so many questions.
Uh-huh.
So I said, I'm a pastor. So issue of integrity, I'm there.
Yeah.
So pastor, so what? Which church? I said, Royal House Chapel. And one said, hey, Apostle General.
Come on now.
And one said, hey, Apostle General. Oh, okay. Then he said, done deal. So I knew over there that I had excelled.
Yes. Oh. Clap your hands and say, in the name of Jesus, covenant to speak for me. Oh, please be serious. This is an honor. Say, in the name of Jesus, covenant will speak for me. This is my new language. I change my old language. Shout, yes, yes, yes. Yes. Your name is Jehovah. Can you clap your hands and worship God? This is a worship night. 2017 will be your year of greatness.
Every knee must bow.
Hey!
Have the mention of your name.
Come on, give me some music.
Every tongue is your confession.
Give me some shouting.
You are the covenant keeping God.
Come on, go for a minister to me.
There is no one like you.
Your name is
Jehovah.
There is a miracle happening here right now. There is a miracle here.
Adoration of your name. Adoration of your name. Every tongue must confess that you are the covenant keeping God. There is no one like you.
Clap your hands and say, when I was growing up, there was poverty all over the house. Everywhere poverty. But somewhere, somewhere, I didn't know what happened to me. I wasn't speaking the language of poverty. And I used to tell them they should call me millionaire. I'll be rich in future. I will make it in future. And then my senior sisters will give me no. I'm too boastful. They tell me to shut up. And then at the time they said, Crunchy, I'm too proud. Today, everything I told them has come to pass. Somebody change your language. Clap your hands. Somebody change your language. Oh, I forgot your name. What's your name? Gloria. I've raised you from Sunday school. Change your language. And if you don't prosper, I am a false prophet. I will not die. That's not what the Bible tells me. I am a son and a daughter of the altar of my Father. I am a product of his sweat and his prayer. My marriage will succeed. My children will prosper. I will not fail in life. My sign, my house, we are for signs and wonders. That's the language of a winner. Winners speak covenant. Winners don't speak failure. Number two, they speak success. David says, so what shall be done for the man who kills this Goliath, this Philistine? What shall be done? The man hadn't fought. He was already thinking about reward. And look at you. Look at you. Do you know how I know that you are not expecting reward in life? Do you know how I know? The way you treat God. The way you come to church. The way you treat choir practice. The way you treat prayer and fasting, I know you have no passion for success. When you see people who have passion for success, their attitudes are different. They walk from Mamobi to Royal House. And from Royal House to Atiko through Zongo Junction. When you see people with success, you see passion. Passion. David said, who would take this reproach from this fool, uncircumcised Philistine? And David was, his pride had been touched as an Israelite. He said, as an Israelite, who serves a bigger God than us? Who serves a greater God than us? Who is the God of this man? Can I suggest to you, my son, that pride has a positive aspect. And from today, I want every Royal House Chapel member to be proud. Every nation that is big is a nation whose citizens have pride. And some prestige. Every nation that is powerful and big, their citizens are very proud and protective of their national flags, i.e. Americans. Oh! Those people, their flag, their success, their respect for their nation, their national anthem, and their for their president. I was in America when their nation got divided over the politics between Hillary Clinton and then Donald Trump. Donald Trump committed so many atrocities and so many sins, he shouldn't have won that election. Some way, somehow, as soon as he won, the following day, do you know that all his accusers changed their language? You know how they started calling him President-elect Donald Trump, President-elect Donald Trump. And yet, the day before the election, you should see the insult these people were hailing upon. The moment he became president, everybody changed their language. I changed my language. They said, we are not respecting the individual. We are respecting the office that he occupies. The presidency. This is the president of America. Why should I raise somebody from Royal House Chapel? Then when you get to university, you don't go to Rosa. You start going to Anglican Club. Something is wrong with you. You have no pride in you. You have no pride in you. Your father is a member of Royal House Chapel. Your mother is a member of Royal House Chapel. We raise you in Royal House Chapel. You remain in Royal House Chapel. At university, you go to Rosa. Whether they are meeting in the park or in the toilet, you go there. Because that's your church. That's your father's altar. You must be proud of it and stay there and stop fooling. If you are not proud of your church will never become great. A leader is great by his followers. Now, you have allowed me to build Royal House Chapel single-handedly. Now, I am tired. I want my sons and my daughters to build Royal House Chapel. What I have planted in you, I want to see the thing grow. Hey, your father's house is your father's house. Your father's altar is your father's altar. From today, stop looking at what others are doing and concentrate in what is going on in your father's house. Who will take away this reproach from Israel, says David. Whether your church meets in the park or in the market, or in the classroom, your father's altar is your father's altar. Be proud of it and ask God to bless you with money so that you can build a church for your church. Clap your hands and say, I changed my language. No, you are not sure. Clap your hands and say, I changed my language. Clap your hands. Somebody change your language. If you denounce your nation, where else are you going? You, tell me. You don't even have a passport. Somebody say, I changed my language. No, I didn't hear you. Somebody say, I changed my language. Oh, come on, say it again. Say, I changed my language. Oh, come on, somebody say, I changed my language. First Samuel chapter 17. Read verse 29, 30, 31, 32. And let me wrap up. Let me bring this into. Read 1 Samuel chapter 17, verse 29. Ready, go.
Now,
you've been reading this. Is there not a course? You have never understood it. Now, Message Bible. Let's see whether it gives me something good there. Message. Ready, go. All I did, okay, ESV, English Standard Version. Ready? Go. And David said, what have I done now? Was it not but a word? I changed my language. Now, what was it? What was it? When everybody was running away from Saul, then David kept saying, why is everybody running? Who is this uncircumcised Philistine? Why do you allow him to bring us reproach? Do we know that we are Israelites and that we have covenant with God? Who is this person? Who is this person? Who is this person? And then his senior brother heard him and said, hey, small boy, come. What is this tool load that you are making? Like they told me when I was growing. He said, it's only a word. In other words, he said, I only decided not to keep my mouth shut. I just decided to speak different from everybody. Everybody is speaking defeat and I'm speaking victory. Everybody is speaking fear, but I'm speaking faith. Everybody says it's impossible, but I'm saying it is possible. It isn't just a word. Verse 30. King, come back to New King James. Or keep ESV. ESV is all right. Almost like King James. Ready, go. And he turned away from toward another. And clap your hands and say, I will not shut my mouth. And spoke the same way. So you don't change your language because you say that you've been confessing prosperity, but you haven't seen the money. Speak the same way. One day it will change. Don't stop your language because you say, I've been confessing marriage for some time now. It is not coming, so I'm stopping. No, continue. Speak the same way. One day something will change. So it's, and then the people answered him again as before. Verse number 31. Ready? Read it with a loud voice. Ready? Go. We're heard. They will never be able to repeat anything into the ears of God apart from what you say. If you keep quiet, there is nothing to be repeated. Open your mouth, change your language, and let something to be repeated to some big man who can help you. Verse 32. And then, listen. Oh, let me finish verse 31. As he repeated and he spoke and spoke, then before Saul, he sent for him. 32. And David said to Saul, let no man's heart fail because of him. Your servant will go and fight with this Philistine. Winners speak faith. They said to him, you cannot fight him. He said, I can't fight him. Why? Because when I was keeping my father's sheep, the bear came and the lion came. I caught them and I killed them. So this Philistine will be like one of them. What was language? The language of past references. You always forget what God does for you. You don't refer to what God does. How can God do anything new for you? You don't want to appreciate God for what he did yesterday. God will do nothing for you tomorrow. We are talking physical terms and reality is not faith. I'm going to ask you physical things, not faith. Are you a rich woman?
No.
Okay. You and your husband, is everything right for you?
No.
Have you built your house yet?
No.
Have you bought your first car?
No.
Is your salary 2,000 Ghana cedis a month?
No, please.
Someone say, ow. But you see, this message is yours. Do you know what happened to you on your wedding day? On your wedding day, you didn't see. We, the observers, saw. The first question I saw when I saw you was that, is that Gloria? Two. I know you and your husband, your background. And I was shocked at your wedding gown, the crowd that attended, the food that was served. I said, where did they get the money? It was God. It was God. And if God did that for you and you don't remember, and you are looking at the fact that you are poor, the fact that you don't have a house, so God is not God, you are ungrateful. That's what many people are. They don't speak the language of reference. But David did. He said, the God who delivered me from the hands of the lion and delivered me from the hands of the bear, that same God will deliver me from the hands of this Philistine. I changed my language. From today, I changed my language. Change your language. Stand up on your feet and clap your hands and shout in the name of Jesus. Say, and the devil fighting my mind and fighting my language, as I clap my hands and I put my foot down, in the name of Jesus, by fire,
die.
And David did what? He spoke the same way. Over and over and over again. And it came to pass. Clap your hands and shout in the name of Jesus. As I clap my hands,
I
open my mouth,
I say
what God has said.
What God has said,
I am a covenant child. I shall not die. I will live. I will prophesy.
And I'll prosper.
Whatever
has been spoken
in this all night,
this morning,
as I clap my hands,
and as I put my foot down,
I declare
what will happen.
5 years, 10 years.
15 years.
From today.
Child of God.
Clap your hands. Pray.
Like a warrior.
Please.
I beg you.
There is an anointing.
The power.
Is here.
What do you want to become?
What is your future?
You want to fail?
No.
You want to succeed?
In ministry.
Clap your hands.
Open your mouth.
Declare.
Covenant.
Language.
By covenant.
Language.
Language.
By faith.
Language.
Language.
By success.
Language.
Language.
By pride.
Language.
Language.
By honor.
Clap your hands.
Pray.
In the name of Jesus. Come on, lift up your voice and begin to pray now. In the name of Jesus. We are declaring by our language.
Holy words, long preserved for our walk in this world.
It is our fervent prayer that this message will have an effect on your life and will lift you to the place where you belong. For an additional copy of this and any other life-changing CDs, please look up the address on your CD. Royal House Chapel International, touching our generation with the power of God. God richly bless you.
Ancient words will guide.